Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday morning, September 14th. It is the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. It is a beautiful feast day. Tomorrow we have the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrow. September is a powerful month of many special feast days, so take some time, in addition to doing the readings, to find out a little bit about these different feast days. And of course, we'll tell you all about them right here at EWTN. Great resources on our homepage at EWTN.com. There's also an interesting story that's been developing with the Catholic News Agency that I've been following. Catholic News Agency receiving an email from a Christian in Afghanistan asking for help. I'm going to encourage you to go to the website and read all about this and pray for the situation, especially because these are the stories that you're not going to hear or read anywhere else. And it is so important to have these outlets available to all of us so we can hear what's really going on, despite what the secular media want to tell us. So we're going to see if we can get the reporters who are working on this story on with us. Andrew's working on that right now. Because as they say in this article today, you know, as a news agency, you as a talk show host, as a news agency, reporters, outlets, media outlets, we get tons of emails all the time. But when they saw this one, it caught their attention, and for very good reason. So I'm going to leave it at that. I want you to go to CatholicNewsAgency.com, see that story, and then we're going to work on getting the reporters involved in communicating with this Christian in Afghanistan on the show very soon to tell their story. Coming up today on this edition of Catholic Connection, we have a pro-life show for you. We, of course, are your pro-life radio network, but always look forward to speaking with Dr. Anne Hendershot. She's a sociology professor at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and she has a lot of insight regarding the new Texas heartbeat law and why it's crucial for protecting those who cannot speak for themselves. And she also has information about an amicus brief on which she signed on to in the Mississippi Supreme Court case, which will be heard in the fall. So looking forward to chatting with Dr. Anne. And then we'll wrap up a Tuesday morning with more good news from the pro-life front. Caitlin Connors is with the Southern Regional area of the Susan B. Anthony list. She's a coordinator for that region of the country, and she's going to be talking to us about 9 new pro-life laws signed by the governor in Oklahoma. Wow. So good things going on, again, in the pro-life movement. We're going to talk all about those things this morning right here on Catholic Connection on a Tuesday. Let's take a look at the forecast, because there's still, even though the latest storms down south, the big one, I think it's Larry, it's actually weakening. No, it's Nicholas. I'm sorry. Larry was recently, but this storm named Nicholas is weakening, but still causing some problems. So we'll give you the latest in the news as well as this forecast. Nicholas bringing tropical storm impacts, moving northeast along the Texas coastline. Very serious storm surges will continue to be possible, and significant rainfall could produce considerable problems, such as flash flooding for metro areas along portions of the Texas and Louisiana coasts. And then isolated tornadoes could also occur in the central Gulf Coast areas. So if you look at the weather map from the National Weather Service, you see the big area of concentration, obviously down south because of Nicholas and the possibilities of the storm stretching all the way from Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. Some issues down there, and even into Pensacola, into northwest Florida. It is 4 minutes past the hour. There's an awful lot of news to get through this morning, so let's get started. You are listening to Catholic Connection. It's a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. As Catholic News Agency explains, there have been at least 95 reported incidents of vandalism of Catholic churches across the country since May of last year. That is according to a report released by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee for Religious Liberty. Incidents include arson, the destruction of statues, and the defacement of church buildings and gravestones with swastikas and anti-Catholic language. Archbishop Thomas Wenske of Miami, chair of the USCCB Committee on Religious Liberty, and Archbishop Paul Coakley of Oklahoma City, chair of the USCCB Committee on Domestic Justice and Human Development, wrote in a statement, "Whether those who committed these acts were troubled individuals crying out for help or agents of hate seeking to intimidate, these attacks are signs of a society in need of healing." Latest incident, including the report taking place on September 5th, vandals put graffiti on a door and two signs at a Catholic church in Louisville, Colorado, about 20 miles northwest of Denver. The incidents occurred across 29 states. Pope Francis yesterday visiting a center in Slovakia run by Mother Teresa's nuns, a Holy Father touring the Bethlehem Center on September 13 in Bratislava during his four-day visit to the Central European country. That center, established by the Missionaries of Charity back in 1997 in a former kindergarten, providing shelter, food, and assistance to the homeless who need long-term care and would otherwise die in the streets. In other news this morning, three different Republican congressmen telling Secretary of State Antony Blinken during a hearing yesterday that he should resign over his handling of the U.S. military withdrawal from Afghanistan. During that hearing of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Representatives Joe Wilson of South Carolina, Lee Zeldin of New York, and Tim Burchett of Tennessee stressed American troops and Afghan civilians, including children, suffered casualties during the ordeal, which allowed the Taliban, they said, to take over Afghanistan and turn it into a safe haven for murderous terrorists. Meanwhile, Afghanistan veteran Representative Brian Mass insisted families of military who lost their lives during the withdrawal deserve the truth about what led to those deaths.
I do not believe whatsoever what you're saying about the administration not working to manipulate that intelligence. To me, that is the most logical explanation of how so many in the intelligence community got this so wrong about what was going to happen in Afghanistan. Why it would seem somehow logical for President Biden to leave the, quote, most advanced military weaponry. Why some would not speak out against that if they were getting the false intelligence because it was coming from the top down to manipulate it. In my opinion, that's absolutely aid and comfort to the enemy. I absolutely wonder if you were complicit in this as well. I find it hard to believe that President Biden would do that without you being aware of this. And these are things that we deserve to know better answers, have better hearings on this. I do not believe a word that you're saying on this.
In yesterday's hearing, Mast also saying he wanted to question Secretary of State Blinken about Biden's phone call with now exiled Afghan President Ghani. The transcript of that call was recently released showing Biden encouraged Ghani to, quote, change the perception of the situation on the ground. Mast adding the decision, along with countless others, resulted in the catastrophic withdrawal. Secretary Blinken, President Biden, and any other official involved in the withdrawal, he added, must take responsibility. Meanwhile, one of 13 service members killed during the Afghanistan airport attack is being remembered as a hero. David Espinoza was laid to rest in his hometown of Laredo, Texas, yesterday.
We can console ourselves with the fact that David died doing what he wanted to do, and with the people that he wanted to do it with.
That's Father Francesco Stadola with the Catholic Diocese of Laredo. Lance Corporal Espinoza died while helping evacuate at least 105,000 people from the airport in Kabul. Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordered flags to be flown at half staff. What was once Hurricane Nicholas is losing steam just a few hours after hitting Texas, as we mentioned earlier. But reporter Nicholas Chesky says it doesn't mean the danger is over.
Daryl Appel grew up in Galveston.
You can't take any of them lightly. You have to take them all as if they're a Cat 5 hurricane, because sometimes the high water, sometimes the rains cause the same or more than an actual hurricane.
It's now a tropical storm, but still just as dangerous. The governor already issuing a disaster declaration for 17 counties at risk for heavy rain and flooding. The biggest worry is for places such as Houston. Schools there canceled classes, and residents have been told to stay inside. Up to 20 inches of rain could drench the Gulf Coast as a storm is moving across Louisiana next. Today is a recall election that will decide if Gavin Newsom keeps his job as California's governor. Newsom says a push to unseat him is not about his performance as governor, but it's a chance to defeat what he called Trumpism. His top opponent, conservative Larry Elder, hit several campaign stops in Southern California yesterday, urging a high voter turnout and again calling Governor Newsom's handling of the pandemic a failure.
I looked at the way this man shut down the state while ignoring science, while having his own kids enjoying in-person private education. He shut down in-person education for government-educated kids, 80% of whom are black and brown.
Larry Elder is seen as a frontrunner in a field of 46 candidates hoping to take Newsom's job. Polls opening up at 7 a.m. Pacific time, closing tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific time. A New York man is speaking out against the city's newly implemented coronavirus vaccine mandate for indoor spaces. A 23-year-old spending the weekend handing out signs to restaurants across the city, restaurants who don't agree that customers should be required to get vaccinated.
We do not discriminate against any customer based on sex, gender, race, creed, age, vaccinated or unvaccinated. All customers who wish to patronize are welcome into our establishment.
The New York resident also says he wants folks to know he is fully vaccinated, but believes people should be able to choose whether they want to get the vaccine. The movement is picking up on social media, and he is hoping to bring this issue to the national stage. Governor Mike DeWine from Ohio is not approving of Joe Biden's vaccine mandate for federal workers at businesses in his state. DeWine says he believes Joe Biden made a mistake.
As much as we want people to be vaccinated, I think that is going to make this much more political. I think people are going to spend time focused on that fight and not focused on the science.
The governor emphasized, though, that everyone should be focused on informing people about the vaccine's effectiveness and why it's the best tool to stop COVID. This comes as several Republican governors, not including DeWine, announced they will take legal action against a mandate that could impact over 100 million Americans. The widow of a murdered Texas state trooper cheering a new law in the Lone Star State that changes the rules for setting bail.
Many people in the world see law enforcement not as people who are trying to help, but as the enemy. This legislation shows that we as a state care about and support our officers.
Casey Allen joining a group of Texas state lawmakers Monday as Republican Governor Greg Abbott signed the Damon Allen Act into law. It makes sure that cash bonds are set for violent offenses. Texas judges must also take a suspect's criminal past into consideration. The gunman accused of killing Trooper Allen had a history of violence against law enforcement and was out on bond for other crimes. Mike Bauer tells us Apple is releasing an emergency suite of new software updates to defend against new spyware.
Apple has released a suite of new updates for iOS, macOS, and watchOS to fix a bug that security researchers at Citizen Lab say was very likely exploited to allow government agencies to install spyware into the phones of journalists, lawyers, and activists. Researchers say the bug allowed for a zero-click install, meaning you didn't have to click on a link, of the Pegasus spyware, which is reportedly capable of stealing data, passwords, and activating a phone's microphone or camera. Given the severity of the exploit, Apple suggests you should update to iOS 14.8. Mac OS Big Sur 11.6, and Watch OS 7.62 as soon as you can.
Gas prices up again. Today's AAA national survey putting the average price of regular at $3.17.7 a gallon, a tenth of a cent increase over Monday. Prices were trending down last week, but that's come to an end, at least for now. And finally, in our news segment, at almost 14 minutes past the hour on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection on EWTN, Noam Lehman tells us that some of Broadway's biggest musicals are reopening tonight on the Great White Way.
The cast and crew of the long-running hit Chicago cannot wait for the curtain to finally rise tonight.
We have a full house of people who are cheering and stomping and crying, and it's going to be exceptionally moving.
Hamilton, The Lion King, Wicked all take the stage tonight, too. For the first time in 18 months, audience members have to be fully vaccinated and masked up. Kids who can't get the vaccine will have to show proof of a recent COVID test.
It is a Tuesday morning, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. Hope you're doing well on a Tuesday. You are listening to the one, the only EWTN. Check out all of our great resources, EWTN.com, this show co-produced, as you may already know. But if not, you can check us out as well at AveMariaRadio.net. And pray for us at Ave Maria Radio, day number two of our membership drive. And pray for all of our radio affiliates across the country who have fall membership drives. Many of them are going on right now. And so check it out in your local market if you have an affiliate. And if you don't, well, support EWTN. And then, I don't know, pick a radio affiliate closest to you. Or maybe pick a new one each year to support. But support both of us because we work together to bring you great radio programming every single day of the week. Speaking of which, looking forward to the interview with Dr. Ann Hendershot. She's up next. She, of course, is a sociology professor at Franciscan University of Steubenville, but so much more. She's out there on the front lines addressing so many issues, especially the life issues. She joins us up next regarding the new Texas heartbeat law, and also the Mississippi Supreme Court case that will be heard this fall. We'll be right back. It's a Tuesday morning. You're listening to EWTN. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is Steve Ray from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Our Wisconsin pilgrimage is already sold out, but our St. Augustine trip was such a success that we're starting another one in November 1st through the 4th, the beginning of the Catholic history of our country, the first parish and the first parish mass. Great place. Also, three trips to the Holy Land, a St. Paul cruise, and Lourdes and Fatima.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. 17 minutes past the hour. Always great catching up with Dr. Anne Hendershot, a true example of the feminine genius of which John Paul II, St. Pope John Paul II, talked about so frequently in his papacy. This morning, we're going to talk about some good news, yay, regarding life, and want to go back first to the Texas heartbeat law. Despite the pushback and the craziness that's been ensuing, and Sean Carney talked about this a little bit yesterday because he's a resident of Texas, there is some good news to report about, a lot of good news to report about this measure and how crucial it is for protecting those who cannot speak up for themselves. Dr. Ann, always great to have you on the program. Let's talk about the positives you're seeing right now, especially in Texas with the heartbeat law and what it means.
Well, it's very exciting. It's great to be on your show to talk about happy things because this past month has just been doom and gloom.
Right.
This is so positive. This all happened the first part of September when the Supreme Court denied injunctive relief, meaning they wouldn't rule on the new way they tried to stop abortion happening in Texas. And the Planned Parenthood and all the abortion providers are up in arms because what happens is this Texas law gives citizens the power to sue abortion providers or anybody who aids and abets an abortion after 6 weeks, after a heartbeat is detected. So it's usually about 6 weeks. And so it really is a near total ban on abortion. They're not doing abortion right now in Texas because our courageous five conservative justices in the majority wouldn't take this case on. They said they didn't have any right to rule on this, so they let the Texas law stand. It's a courageous Texas law. And so we should thank Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Justice Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, and Amy Coney Barrett for this. We don't have to thank Roberts because he would have ruled with the liberals on this. He even said that. He would have gone back to the original way that Texas did this. He gave no comment on the constitutionality of the law, but he said he would have granted relief to preserve the status quo. He would have allowed abortion to continue. He's a big disappointment. But I'm not going to get to the negative. I'm just not, because this is something to celebrate. I'm so happy about this. I'm so excited. And I shouldn't get so smug, I know, because, you know, it's always one step forward, five back.
Right.
But the pro-life community should be very proud of themselves because they've worked so hard, and you have worked so hard, Calling me feminist genius, that's hysterical. But
what do you mean? It's true.
No, it was funny. But no, I'm just so happy. Happy. This is a happy time for the pro-life community. And we shouldn't celebrate and we shouldn't be smug. But babies are being saved right now in Texas. And you know, these heartbeat bills, they've struggled for so long. As far back as 2013, we've tried heartbeat bills. And North Dakota had one. And, you know, it was hard to keep them because the courts were always overturning them. Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, South Carolina, and now Texas all had heartbeat bills. But Texas is the only one that's really surviving and really making a huge difference. I mean, all those governors we have to thank. I mean, Kristi Noem is very courageous about these things in South Dakota. We're very, very, very blessed in the pro-life community because we have a lot of courageous people like you, Teresa, and a lot of people out on the front lines who have just worked tirelessly for 50 years, you know. I mean, people like Joe Scheidler, who we just lost recently.
Yeah.
He was one of the first, and he, you know, people criticized him because of those posters and everything. But, you know, people needed to know that was a baby that was being torn apart. I don't like those posters, and I don't like to be near them. But sometimes people need to be hit over the head with what this is going on, you know?
Yeah.
They just need to be reminded.
We're talking with Dr. Ann Hendershot, sociology professor at Franciscan University of Steubenville, about pro-life measures, including the Texas heartbeat law. How do you see this connected to the big Supreme Court case in Mississippi?
Well,
and you made a really good point about the lives that have been saved so far, even in, what has it been since this was allowed to stand, just over a week now or maybe 10 days? So think of how many babies have not been killed and how many women, because you mentioned in the article that you penned, the evidence, just some of the evidence showing a connection between one abortion and so many problems that women have. Not only psychological, but there's many physical signs too that they have many problems. But let's talk about the connection between the Texas heartbeat law and the Mississippi Supreme Court case.
Well, I think that this opens the door. It's kind of the opening act for me. And Jerry Bradley, who's a legal scholar, I know you've had Jerry Bradley, Professor Bradley from Notre Dame, law professor. He is very, very optimistic about Dobbs. Now, Dobbs is the Mississippi law that would save the lives of countless women and children in Mississippi and beyond, I think, because that one is it's a 15-week cutoff for abortion. So, I mean, I think this opens the door to that. The justices have already shown a willingness to, you know, not allow abortion because they didn't rule in favor of the Texas plaintiffs wanting to stop this rule. So I think we're really, I mean, if only five justices rule in the Mississippi, it's called a gestational age act. And if they rule that that's constitutional, then even without Roberts, we can get this through. So I'm very optimistic about Dobbs. I signed on to this amicus brief with other female scholars, 240 of them, and some pro-life feminist organizations, all women, because we wanted to say, hey, you know, we got great jobs. You got a great job, Teresa. You didn't have to have abortion to get that great job. I didn't need to have access to abortion to get. And all of these women are law professors and all kinds of professionals and attorneys and doctors signed on to this amicus brief saying that we don't need to have access to abortion to enjoy a successful and rewarding. I mean, we have a justice at the Supreme Court now who didn't need Amy Coney Barrett, who did not need access to abortion to become a Supreme Court justice, one of the highest levels in the country. So I was honored to sign on to this amicus brief because this is a really, really, really wonderful thing. This job, it can take five justices to garner the review, so they took the review, and I don't think they would have taken the review if they didn't know that this could work.
Yeah.
I think it can. I mean, 15 weeks, I think that's still a little late. You know, over in Europe, they think that's too late. They ban, most of the European countries ban abortion after 14 weeks.
Right.
They're getting an extra week. But at 12 weeks, I would have preferred the 12 weeks gestation because the child feels serious pain by 12 weeks. It takes on the human form in all relevant aspects. It feels pain. I mean, so much so that even pro-choice physicians like anesthesiologists and surgeons who do that fetal surgery, they recommend that the child get pain meds. The unborn child, if they're doing surgery after 12 weeks gestation, they require that the baby get pain meds. But it's okay to tear the baby apart if you don't want the baby.
Right.
Now, that's crazy.
Doctor, we have to take a quick break. We'll come back with more discussion, and we'll also put a link to the article you wrote for The Spectator regarding the amicus brief and the great research in there that I want to touch upon. And a lot of people don't know, and this is an opportunity for education, that the United States is one of the most extreme countries when it comes to abortion. Of course, all abortion is wrong, but we're one of the few, a handful of nations around the world that allow abortion through 9 months of pregnancy. We'll be right back.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, he taught us a great lesson. He taught us that he came for the sinner, not the virtuous. He came for you because you are imperfect, because sin comes easy to you, and sometimes you don't have the willpower to say no. But you see, if you understood the awesomeness of God and all his power and all his wonder, and he comes down to our level. He wanted to feel. How do you feel? I don't know anybody that loves anyone that much. And this imperfect being that's you and me and all of us, he did it for us. That's why you should never despair, because you're imperfect.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Mississippi presented a brief to the Supreme Court, and in that brief, the state of Mississippi argued that the Constitution of the United States does not confer a right to abortion, asking the court to finally admit that cases claiming there is such a right, Roe v. Wade, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, have been wrongly decided and need to be overruled. Now, make no mistake, this is coming to a very different Supreme Court than we've had in the past, because former President Trump kept his promise to appoint originalist judges. And even if we assume they regard Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey as bad decisions, we really don't know how they might go about revising, dismantling, you know, reforming Roe. This is going to be a very consequential Supreme Court case.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Another story that you won't hear, of course, on the secular media is a story, or if you do hear about it, it's going to be twisted negatively. Dr. Hendershot and I, Dr. Ann Hendershot from Steubenville, were talking about this during the break. Texas investing hundreds of millions of dollars in programs for pregnant moms and families, and an additional $100 million through this heartbeat law to offer parenting classes and financial help and medical help and all kinds of support in terms of different types of baby products. And this is something that I think is so crucial, because we're always accused as if only caring about the baby is a bad thing, but we don't only care about the baby. We never have. We care about the baby and the entire family, even though, of course, you know, the media don't report that. But Dr. Ann, I think this is phenomenal, and this is an opportunity for education, because, you know, they're saying that we're restricting this, we're restricting that, when at the end of the day, we're really giving women more choice and real choice and offering real help for them. And I think this is so amazing, not only the law, but the additional money that Texas is saying, hey, we are here to help you. Your thoughts?
Oh, that's a wonderful thing. And I'm sorry I didn't write about that, because I don't think anyone really paid any much attention to that huge amount of money for crisis pregnancies. That's fabulous, you know, because we are always criticized as only caring about unborn children and not caring about them when they are born. And we've always known that's untrue. Our church, the Catholic Church, is hugely invested in crisis pregnancy centers and helping families. So it's so unfair. And Christian organization. So, but it's so nice to see that the government has stepped up to help with, because so many governments, like New York, is trying to close all the crisis pregnancy centers down, saying that they're misleading women and promising abortion when they don't do abortion. They've created injunctions. They've really made life very difficult for crisis pregnancy centers in many states. So we're really going to have a difference in states, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We're going to have Mississippi and Texas and South Dakota, and then we're going to have New York and California. And that will happen even if a Roe v. Wade ruling comes down in our favor, even if Roe v. Wade is overturned, California will still do abortion. New York will still do abortion, just as they did abortion before Roe v. Wade was even, I mean, have you ever read the book in Necessity and Sorrow? It talked about the abortion industry before Roe v. Wade. New York was doing hundreds of abortions every day. People would fly in from all over the country to New York City and they sold abortion packages. A limo would pick you up at the airport, you and your mom or your friend, and you'd go have your saline abortion. And it's a horrible book. Horrible. I mean, it was written in the early 70s, and it's called In Necessity and Sorrow by Magda Dennis. And she's a feminist, and she was pro-abortion, but she said, this is really bad because we're doing assembly line abortions. And the United States should be ashamed of itself because we are so radical on abortion. I mean, France and Italy and Germany and Spain, even Norway, none of them allow abortion the way we do through all 9 months. Only China and Russia and places like that allow that.
But again, I don't think most people know that we have this. Even people in the pro-life community, many don't realize how extreme the abortion laws are. Most think it's only in the first trimester. And my husband, who's a sidewalk counselor, has had this conversation with numerous wonderful pro-life people, especially around election time, talking about the issues. And when he has mentioned a couple of times to some of the volunteers, well, you know, it's unbelievable how extreme the United States is allowing abortion through 9 months of pregnancy. And then if you look at the infanticide laws in several states, including New York, where former Governor Cuomo, of course, lit up the Empire State Building in pink. I mean, that's a whole other thing. But a lot of people don't know. A lot of other things that they don't know, you brought out in the piece that you did for The Spectator, number of studies done by pro-abortion researchers. Abortion in young women and subsequent mental health, by the way. This was published in the Journal of Child Psychology and Psychiatry, found that the risk of suicide, and this is just one issue, the risk of suicide, 3 times greater for women who aborted than for women who carried their pregnancy to term. That is just so sad.
It kills the child, but it also destroys the woman for many women. It injures the woman so severely that she really doesn't get over it. And there's so many great organizations like Rachel's and Life Perspectives, a friend of mine runs that. I think you've had her on the show, Michaeline Greenberg. I don't know if you've had her. She's wonderful. And, you know, she talks about the pain that women suffer because that's who she's counseling right now. People don't realize that. Abortion is bad for women. You know, it's really bad for women. And that's why these 240 female scholars signed the amicus brief. They wanted to say, this is really bad for women. And not to be selfish about women, because certainly the baby pays the highest price, death. But women abortion is creating many more problems for women. Many more. And I think it's hurting our relationships with men. Abortion is destroying the relationship between men and women in a lot of ways. And the church has always said that contraceptive leads to these kinds of toxic relationships between men and women. We just need to get rid of this. You know, Mother Teresa warned us about this. A nation that can kill their children can kill you, can kill you, can kill me, can kill anyone.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Ann Hendershot, sociologist from Steubenville, about the Texas heartbeat law, also about the Mississippi Supreme Court case coming up in the fall. This is a huge time for education. This is what I keep thinking about. Well, this is in the news. This is an opportunity for people to share articles such as the one that you penned, and we'll give a link to it on our Catholic Connection archive section. I always look, Doctor, in terms of my research, and I had a total turnaround on this issue because I thought I knew so much when I was in the secular media, and I didn't. I always say that abortion is like this giant octopus with its tentacles everywhere. I just wrote an article for the Deacon magazine as a deacon's wife, and it was for their pro-life issue, which is coming out. And I talked about how the deacons and priests can't be silent from the pulpit. They have to speak out about this. And if you think about, okay, so 1 in 4 women, the stats say, had an abortion. You mentioned in this article suicide increase, a high risk. There's also, you mentioned, higher risk for clinical depression. Okay, so that's just two of the issues. So if you think about clinical depression, you think about suicide, you think about drug addiction, domestic violence, broken relationships, all of these other things that are a result of abortion, and the studies have shown that, most of which are from secular groups, then this is something that affects us all. It is. They always say it's such a personal and private decision, but it has far-reaching implications. And this is where the education is so important, and to really make sure that we know the issues well enough to defend them.
Yeah, and I think people don't know all the issues. We're having a parental rights conference at Franciscan, and I'm doing a paper. It's October 15th, 14th, 15th, 16th. It'll be that weekend in October. Parental rights, because parents don't have any rights to stop the abortion of a 13-year-old child of theirs. They have no rights at all. There is something called judicial bypass, that if the parent is not notified, the child can say, I'm not going to tell my parents because they'll beat me up, so I need the judge to allow it. So the judge just rubbers, it's a rubber stamp. And all states have to have that because of Roe v. Wade. Even a 13-year-old girl who's pregnant has a constitutional right to abortion under Roe v. Wade.
So you're looking at statutory rape in that case, is what you're looking at, of a 13-year-old.
Yeah. He's a 15. But yes, that's, and very often the traffickers will take girls for abortion.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a whole other topic. And we're out of time. Unfortunately, I don't want you to get cut off by the break, but please let us know more about that conference. We'll have you back on. Dr. Ann Hendershot, sociologist from Steubenville, will give you a link to her article, A Pro-Life Decision in Dobbs versus Jackson. Choose life. We'll be right back.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Bishop Robert Barron.
Find out in any cultural situation, who's the Lord? There's somebody or some principle, some figure, some institution that has central importance in that culture. Whether it's king, whether it's the military, who knows what it is? Go up and down the centuries. What's the Lord? The declaration of the Lordship of Jesus will always be a challenge to whatever that reigning Lord happens to be. The Lord today is my personal freedom. I decide what my life is. I decide who I am. I decide everything from my gender to the ultimate meaning of my life. Now that personal freedom is so powerful that it's become the Lord. To evangelize the culture is therefore to challenge them and to say, no, it's not your own ego, not your own freedom that's Lord. Jesus determines the meaning of your life. Jesus is the center of your life, not your own freedom.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. More good news from the pro-life front. Isn't it great? We have to remember there is always good news out there. We have to look at the glass as half full versus half empty. Yes, we have our challenges. Yes, we have our many issues in our culture today, especially with the culture of death. But we have many, many pro-life warriors who are out there making a difference. You heard first from Dr. Ann Hendershot from Franciscan University talking about the Texas heartbeat law and the amicus brief that she signed along with several hundred pro-life women That is signed regarding the Supreme Court case. It's going to be heard this fall. And now we have Caitlin Connors. She is with the Southern Regional portion of the wonderful Ministry of the Susan B. Anthony List. And she was actually in Oklahoma with Marjorie Dannenfelser, who heads up the SBA list, regarding this amazing celebration of nine, count them, nine new pro-life laws signed by the governor there. Wow, this certainly is good news. Caitlin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Teresa. It's so wonderful to have the opportunity to talk to you today. And you're right, there is so much good news out there. And it's wonderful to take the time and really celebrate wins for life. And one of those certainly was last week, last Thursday. I had the distinct opportunity of being in Oklahoma City with Marjorie and Governor Kevin Stitt of Oklahoma, who gathered a large group of those who are on the front lines for life, those pro-life advocates from across the state, all together, as well as the bill sponsors of those nine. You're right, nine is a big number. We're so proud. Pro-life bills that were signed into law in this ceremonial signing that the governor did. So we were thrilled to be there. Several pieces of legislation, just incredibly bold, but also really common sense, that are to protect women and obviously to protect babies. So there's a lot of positivity for life and a lot of momentum in the state.
Now, there's one measure here, and I think this adds, of course, to the importance. And I was just talking before you came on, Caitlin, as I mentioned, to Dr. Ann Hendershot, who's a sociologist from Steubenville, talking about pro-life issues and so much that people don't know. Now, this is something that people need to be aware of, and this absolutely is, if you were to take any other area of medicine, and if you were to look at the way abortions are handled compared to other areas of medicine, this should be front page news in terms of the lack of real care women are getting. So one of the measures requires that abortionists be board certified in obstetrics and gynecology. Now, you would think if they care about, quote unquote, reproductive health, this would be a no-brainer.
You're absolutely right. I'm glad you brought that one up, because I was going to bring it up as well. Really common sense here. I mean, of course, an abortionist should have to be board certified OBGYN. I mean, that just makes perfect sense. And so I'm just proud that they would make such an obvious fix to their current law to do that. And of course, you know, it makes you question on the other side, why would there be any sort of pushback about that? It's common sense. We're trying to protect women, of course, and of course babies as well. But for the other side, Planned Parenthood, et cetera, to talk about, you know, women's health and caring about women and their right to health care, how could they possibly have any criticism to something like that?
But they do, right? They do push back on that.
They certainly do, and it's really dumbfounding. Another piece of legislation that the governor signed is regarding the abortion pill, or chemical abortion, as it's referred to. And so the Biden administration, we've seen just the extreme measures that they are willing to take and just a disregard for life. But on the chemical abortion front, this is becoming one of the most common way over surgical abortion to terminate life, unfortunately. And with the abortion pill, the Biden administration, specifically the FDA, is loosening regulations on that pill. So this law here in Oklahoma was designed to make sure that Oklahoma had really strong restrictions on the books regarding the chemical abortion pill, including things just like making sure that a woman is a doctor has actually given an ultrasound to the woman to determine how far along she is in her pregnancy, to rule out ectopic pregnancy. I mean, again, really common sense things that of course she would do and should do. And there should be no pushback from anybody, especially those who argue that they are pro women, for their health, for, you know, their health care. So I appreciate you pointing out how common sense these measures are.
Well, I think, by the way, if you're just joining us on Catholic Connection on a Tuesday morning edition, 44 minutes past the hour, speaking with Caitlin Connors. She's a Southern Regional Coordinator for the Susan B. Anthony List. But again, Caitlin, as I was speaking with Dr. Hendershot, a lot of people simply do not know, because of the way Planned Parenthood and their cohorts in the media have presented this in terms of their semantics, their language, their spin. They call it reproductive health care. Well, there's nothing reproductive about killing babies. parties, and it's not healthy, first of all. And secondly, when you think about the fact that you don't have to be an OBGYN to perform an abortion. So who's doing the abortions? People should be asking those questions.
Right. There should be much more criticism and from the media, and I appreciate you asking these questions, because you're absolutely right. It's just terrible that that's the situation where those kinds of things go unchecked, and they can continue to say that they care about women and reproductive health and all the talking points, and then they're never challenged on, well, why wouldn't you support something as common sense as this? And that's why I think we're really seeing this momentum in the states. We've seen 89 pieces of pro-life legislation signed and enacted in across the country, and that's really historic. And I think that speaks to what we're seeing in Washington, and the states are speaking up. The constituents, the voters in these states are electing pro-life legislators, governors, all down the ticket, like Governor Stitt, who said, I want to be the most pro-life governor in the country, and I'm going to sign any piece of pro-life legislation that comes to my desk. And he's lived up to that promise. And so I think the momentum that we're seeing in the state is a direct reaction to the extremism that we're seeing in Washington and what's been in the media, and allowing a pass essentially to the abortion industry for years. They have all their arguments based on old science, literally science from 1973 when Roe came down. And so we're seeing a real momentum shift, and it's an exciting time for life. The states are speaking up. We have a Supreme Court case where oral arguments will be heard soon. And so there's a lot of momentum on our side.
Amen. And so what kind of pushback is the governor getting, the state of Oklahoma getting? Because we know Planned Parenthood never takes any of these decisions lightly.
Right. Well, of course, they're being critical of him. They're saying that he's, you know, trying to restrict women's rights and body autonomy and the same talking points that we've heard. And typically speaking, Planned Parenthood always file some suit against any pro-life bill that's ever signed into law. So we expect, you know, them to continue that same trajectory there of trying to go through the courts to keep these bills, to keep these laws from being enacted. And unfortunately, that's just their motive. That's their MO, I should say. And that's why the Supreme Court case is so important. We're looking to the Supreme Court. They decided to answer one question, and that is, do states have the right to pass laws on abortion that are for pre-viability, that age group? And so it's just going to be vitally important with the court making that decision, with states across the country trying to pass their own laws. They have for decades, mm-hmm. trying to pass their own laws on abortion. And Roe has kept them from being able to do that. And so we're very hopeful. We are, of course, in constant prayer to those who are arguing the case, to the Supreme Court, and for everybody surrounding it, and for our leaders like Governor Stitt, who they get criticism for standing for life from the other side. And it can be very nasty. It can be, very tiring to the soul. And so we appreciate the prayers out there as well, everybody from your audience, because we'll definitely need them. I wanted to make sure I told your audience, obviously this would be the prime audience to talk to this about. So in that light of being in prayer, starting next week on September 20th, we're going to, we as in Susan B. Anthony List, will be hosting every Monday evening a national prayer coalition.
Aww.
And that is designed, yes, it'll just be Monday evenings, 20 minutes of your time. All you do is dial the number and listen in. This will be every Monday evening from now until when the Supreme Court makes its decision.
So beautiful.
Yes, we want to enable everybody to join in prayer across the nation. We'll have different hosts with different intentions every week. But if anybody on the line is interested, I'm sure a good bit of your audience would be, you can go to Dobbs, DobbsCase.com and get all the logistical information and a prayer guide and things like that. So that is one thing that we need the most, our leaders and everybody else involved in this, is prayer.
That is so crucial. And I think pray also, not only for the lawmakers and the justices and whatnot to rule and to decide wisely and for the best of all people, born and unborn. I think also to pray for post-abortive men and women, because you and I know, working in the pro-life movement, that much of this is coming from their own anger, and they haven't been able to deal with it yet because they were told, they were given bad information, or maybe they were pressured into making that decision. We know that a majority of women really say that they have no choice at all when it comes to an abortion. So to really pray for them, that their hearts be open, that they have the courage to really look at this issue from a much broader perspective, and to really deal with that pain that happens with abortion. I think the prayer and the understanding is really important. I had a major change of heart on this. I would get so angry and frustrated at the Supreme Court rallies with Silent No More that I cover every year for the March for Life, and I get so angry about the people screaming and yelling at the women and men giving their testimonies. But then after working in the pro-life movement for so long and talking to many post-abortive women and men, and they told me, look, they're coming from a place of pain. They're coming from a place where, you know, nobody told me that this would be it. Well, you know, and then they're slowly seeing other people coming forward, and there's confusion and there's angst and there's a lot going on there. So I think we take it to prayer. We pray for those who felt for whatever reason that they had to have an abortion. We pray for them, for their hearts and minds to be opened and their hearts to be healed. And then we also pray for our leaders, both in the Supreme Court, in Washington, at the state level. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Take everything to the Lord in prayer. Right, Caitlin?
That's absolutely right. We hope everybody will join us when we do start our prayer campaign. And you're right. I've been privileged to visit many pregnancy care centers from across the state. I'm here in Alabama, but across the country as well. And particularly when we were in Oklahoma, we were able to meet with some directors of pregnancy centers. And it's just, they're on the front lines.
Right.
They're seeing the pain of abortion. It touches people in so many different ways, whether they're post-abortive themselves, whether it was a family member, whether they're seeing these women come in and seeing the brokenness there. And so you're right. There needs to be a lot of prayer dedicated to them as well. And our pregnancy center workers who are on the front lines seeing this every day. It can be very, very difficult to see that and to mentor and to try to help women and men through some incredibly difficult times in their lives. And so, I my heart goes out for them because they're really doing the Lord's work every single day, usually on a shoestring budget as well. And so, we think about them, but you're so right to include men and women who have been directly affected by abortion. They are out there and they're in different stages of healing.
Yeah.
And so they certainly need our prayers.
Caitlin, beautifully done. Thank you so much. Give us a link again for the prayer events starting on Monday evening. Want to get that word out?
Yes, absolutely. So if you go to dobbscase.org, that's D-O-B-B-S, case, C-A-S-E, I apologize, it's .com, you'll see all the information there. There's a prayer guide. There is the information, obviously, to call in and join us on Monday evenings. And so it's a really nice website. You'll be able to see all the information there. And we hope that you join us. We begin on September 20th, the next week. So we're looking forward to this. This will be a crucial way to support all of those involved with the Supreme Court case and life in general, for our elected officials, for the women and men who've been affected by abortion, for pregnancy center workers. We'll pray for all of them. And so we ask all of you to join us and be there. One of the most important things we can do is pray.
Caitlin, thank you so much. Great speaking with you. God bless your work. And please give Marjorie our best. Caitlin Connors is a Southern Regional Coordinator for the Susan B. Anthony List. If you'd like to take part in this weekly prayer event leading up to the Supreme Court case this fall, dobbscase.com. And we'll have that link on our archive section at AveMariaRadio.net under Catholic Connection as well. We'll be right back on a Tuesday morning. Stay tuned.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
College football is back this fall. Hailing from sunny Southwest Florida, the Ave Maria University Gyrenes will take on their Sun Division opponent for exciting and hard-hitting football. All games can be live-streamed by going to avemaria.edu and clicking on the Live Stream Football button. This Saturday, it's the home opener for the Gyrenes as they take on Point Georgia. Game time at 7 p.m. Tune in for great college football played by an authentic Catholic university. avemaria.edu. We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Thanks so much for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't forget about that story I told you at Catholic News Agency regarding the Christian who contacted CNA via email about what's really going on in Afghanistan. Check it out. We're working to get those reporters working on that story on the show with us. Tomorrow morning, looking forward to chatting with Dr. Matthew Bunsen, who's graciously joining us after a very, very busy visit and his great coverage of the Eucharistic Congress in Budapest, plus Steve Ray live from Lourdes. That and you on a Wednesday. Joan Lewis still has a day off. Talk to you later. Ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.